Good morning and welcome back to Class Eclectic here on Public Radio 90. Right now you're listening to a track that's called Have It Both Ways. The performer is Lauren Perilla and the composer is Kyle Grimm. And we're joined in the studio with a special guest. We have Danielle Simandl from the Superior String Alliance. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning.
Danielle, how are you today?
Good, thanks.
Good. So we're listening to a piece and it's by the Superior String Alliance. And we have a tour that's coming up, actually. Danielle, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I'm the executive director of Superior String Alliance, which is a local nonprofit based in Marquette, Michigan. And this will be our 32nd summer that we're running a residential camp for string kids who are in grades 4 through 12. And as a celebration before camp starts, a couple of the faculty members like to tour the UP and perform some pretty sweet chamber music.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be doing this week. So we have a pretty cool and very eclectic program of classical chamber works that are influenced by folk music from around the world this year.
Excellent. We really enjoy our eclectic classical, so you're on the right in the right spot for that. So so you have the chamber player faculty members coming up, and I was speaking with Hans Ahlstrom earlier. It sounds like you guys are kind of spread out throughout the country for
a
while.
Yeah, and kind of even throughout the world. We have one person that came in from Scotland.
Oh, wow.
And another of our cellists is from Texas. Somebody's from Boston, another person's from Wisconsin, far away Wisconsin, the exotic land.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
And so you're all coming together for a tour of the UP, and mm-hmm. that starts this coming Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And even though these guys are all from all over the place, they've been teaching at camp for years. So they all, I think at this point, consider themselves honorary summer youpers. They haven't really experienced the winters up here yet.
Oh,
so
yes.
That's another badge to earn.
Absolutely, yeah. Danielle, can you tell us a little bit about the SSA for our listeners that might not be aware of what you guys do and what kind of repertoire you perform?
Sure, yeah. So the Chamber Players is kind of a new branch, relatively speaking, in the history of SSA. There used to be the Festival Orchestra that toured the UP more in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Okay.
And so this is obviously a little bit more scaled back in numbers of people. I think the coolest thing about chamber music is that it's very easily mobile. As much as we all love symphony orchestras, it's very difficult to bring a symphony orchestra.
Right,
to
traveling is difficult.
Yeah, yeah, and there's only very specific spaces that'll fit a symphony orchestra. So it's a very magnanimous, big event that happens a lot. And the beauty with chamber music is that it can be a very intimate, small setting. And so we like to find those tiny little corners in the UP and just kind of, I mean, we're playing in all these different spaces that maybe aren't even necessarily recital halls most of the time. And so, yeah, that's the thing with chamber music that we really like to kind of push the envelope on that. It's just like, what's maybe the coolest, weirdest space we can play in? And with that comes the great ability to connect with people who maybe like don't seek out chamber music for string players a lot of the time. And I think just making that connection with people is the number one thing that drives us. So
absolutely. Yeah, that's great that you guys are able to bring a classical music environment, kind of bring that to the maybe other known neck of the woods or different places where, like you said, people might not always have that accessibility to see and hear a lot of that kind of music. So the tour is coming up starting July 18th, and that'll be here in Marquette at the Gichigumi Cafe and Records, and that's at 7 p.m. And then throughout the rest of the week, you guys will be going at different locations. The 19th will be at the Joy Center in Ishpeming, and the 20th is at Greenway Books in Iron Mountain. Also on the 20th at the Boniface Arts Center, we speak with Pasqua from the Boniface quite often, so they'll be there on the 20th, then the 21st in Mishigami at the Moonshine Fine Arts Gallery, and then finally on the 22nd, the last day, will be at the Falling Rock Cafe in Munising. So you guys are all across the UP this week.
Yeah. It's going to be, we're super excited to play at every single venue.
Do you guys take like a tour van kind of thing?
Basically, kind of that way? Yeah. It's a giant SUV, yeah.
Nice. Very good. So do you guys have a location from the past that you've performed at that maybe has been a pretty surprising turnout, or do you have some locations where, you know, you've had a really good reception, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, even if there's not the biggest turnout, it is still always such a great reception. Yeah, I mean, we're always, you know, any musician is always looking for a huge audience and like just this huge applause at the end of everything. we're not going to lie about that. But you know, there's been highly successful performances all over the place with not just us, where it's like maybe three people are in the audience. And it's like, you know, even if you just make that musical connection with that audience, that one audience member that showed up, and maybe that's your only audience member. I mean, that that's usually the most important thing to us anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, with the venues that we've played in, it's very interesting. I mean, we play in a couple bookstores, and you never think that it would, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people that listen to this radio station are major book lovers, and so like to do anything in a bookstore seems like a pretty sweet idea, but it's like, you know, chamber musicians don't really play in bookstores a lot of the time, but there is like a very specific vibe that happens when you're surrounded by bookshelves of books and you're playing chamber music, and there's just, I don't know, there's just kind of this like
a nice coffee house feel.
Yeah, and just this like kind of unexplained thing in the air where you're like, oh man, there's just like infinite stories surrounding us right now, and we're playing this chamber music for people. I don't know if that makes sense, but
I think that suits an atmosphere. It kind of suits a vibe that people go for.
Yeah,
so, I mean, there's kind of countless stories that come from the books and also from these pieces of music. So I think that's kind of working on the same level that way.
Yeah, and likewise with any art museums that we play in, I love being able to do any kind of multi genre kind of stuff where people are able to enjoy different forms of art at the same time.
Sure.
So playing at the Moonshine Gallery is great. We actually are playing during one of the artist receptions that are happening, and I mean, it's so cool to have all these amazing paintings and works of art that people are looking at the same time as us playing. It's a very great mixture.
It becomes, I was going to say, a mixed media event.
Yes.
I mean, you know, whether it's books and music or art and music, you know, you kind of, you both complement each other that way. So that's really cool that you're able to do that in these multiple locations. Even when you're here in Marquette, you know, you think of the different kinds of places that you perform at, you're going to be at a record store for the first performance.
Yeah, so we're getting pretty hipster here. We haven't performed at a record store yet, so.
Nice. Well, that'll be a different vibe. And
yes.
It'll be great that you can bring that to that environment. We'll put all the full details on each location and some of them, like the first one here at Gichigumi, it's a $5 cash for entry there. Otherwise, a lot of them are for free and donations are accepted at the door. Can you tell us a little bit about what the public might expect on the 20th, which is that Thursday? At the Boniface Arts Center, you have a public masterclass?
Yeah, so that's going to be open to anybody that wants to watch. I mean, so masterclasses are these really great educational opportunities for music students where a teacher will listen to a couple of kids perform and then basically give a lesson in front of people. And it's really beneficial for other string students to just watch. Some of my most like strong memories of things that I have learned and solidified in my brain as a musician have come from just being an audience member in a master class. And so we have a bunch of really awesome string kids in Escanaba, and we want to work with them at Boniface because Boniface has been so generous in giving up their space for us to use. And so we'll be doing that masterclass at 5, and it'll be a couple performers, soloists, a couple chamber groups. And then, yeah, if anybody who shows up can bring a dish to pass, and we're just going to share some food together before we start the concert. It'll be pretty laid back, but that'll be the schedule for the Boniface Day.
Very cool. Very cool. I like that feeling of having some laid back classical. That's kind of my whole thing, is that I like to say that we can kind of push that bubble of classical out a bit and include more people in that.
So absolutely.
I think it's great to find different avenues of doing that.
So. And it's for anyone who's curious as to what the heck we talk about in lessons ever, going to a masterclass is a great starting point, because oftentimes masterclasses will be I don't know if anybody ever watches the show So You Think You Can Dance, but I'm obsessed with it as a person who doesn't really understand many of the technical difficulties of dance. But a lot of it's like the judges have a very overarching comment to make that I could get as somebody who's not a dancer. And
sure.
So I feel like masterclasses are a good way to kind of delve into the music scene, because usually it's kids who have something very prepared. They're not working on a lot of technical stuff, and we can talk about the overarching like musical ideas behind it. And
sure.
I find that to be very compelling. So I'm obsessed with So You Can Think You Can Dance because of that.
I think art begets art, and that's another form of expression too. So I mean, it's a lot of these things are interrelated. So mm-hmm. They complement each other, as I said before. So again, we're speaking with Danielle Simandl from the Superior String Alliance, and they are going to be going on tour starting Tuesday the 18th and until July 22nd. If you've missed any of this interview, or if you're just joining us right now, we'll also have this online at WNMUFM.org a little bit later on. And what do you think? Should we play a little bit of another piece by Maddie?
Totally, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that piece?
Yeah. So the chamber players are all classically trained professional string players, and we all have very different kind of specific interests in the chamber music world. And so Maddie Herdeman is one of our cellists, and she's from Texas, and she is in a rock band down there.
Oh, cool.
In addition to doing her regular classical cello stuff, plus she's also an orchestra teacher. So she's got a bunch of different stuff going on. She's this amazing educator, and she had written this song called Muddy Blue, which is this very gritty, folksy sounding song, which is why I brought it in today to kind of pique the interest of what our program might sound like this summer. And and she loves talking about this to kids, especially who are thinking about composing, because she had never written a song before this one, and this was kind of the thing that got her feet wet. And I would never be able to tell. I think it's this amazing song, and it sounds like some person who'd been performing as like a Taylor Swift like person wrote it to me. So I'm just like, uh-huh. That's so inspirational. And then she had approached me and said, like, hey, what if I arranged it for string quartet while I sang at the same time? And originally I thought she meant like she would sing and there would be a group behind her, but what she actually meant is that she would play cello with us in the group and sing at the same time.
Right.
So that's what this piece is. Yeah, so she's just she's amazing, and this is what that song is, in Muddy Blue.
Everything's broken, nothing's right, and you don't get away, go sleep at night, and don't know what you're doing. Touches my hands, stretching butter, touches my lips, tastes like blood. Everything is good.
listening to a piece called Muddy Blue, and that's from Lauren Perilla.
Oh, Maddie Herdman.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maddie. Oh, and is the performer Lauren? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong track. That's why. Oh boy. See, that's the thing. Maddie composed it, and also we were just talking about multitasking.
Yeah.
Apparently, today is not the day for me for multitasking. So, but you know how that goes. So, anyways, So Muddy Blue, string quartet, and also vocalist. So that's a very cool look and sound of what you might expect from the Superior String Alliance as they go on tour coming up this July 18th, starting on Tuesday at the Gichigumi Cafe and Records here in Marquette. And that starts at 7 p.m. and it's $5 cash to get into that concert. For the rest of the week, most of the rest of the concerts are free and donations are accepted at the door. Danny, is there anything else you'd like to add about either the tour coming up or any of the performances?
We're really looking forward to this program. It's a lot of very interesting chamber works in that we do have some things that would fall into the category of normal chamber music where it's like, oh, okay, this is a string trio playing. And and then we have other stuff that are kind of like the two pieces that you played from last summer where we have one piece called Appalachian Polaroids, and it's based on this old recording of a folk singer from Appalachia, I should say. Mm-hmm. And so it starts out with this really cool recording of a woman with kind of a yodely voice, and it's still got that like old-timey, like record scratchy sounds in the background.
Sure.
And the string quartet that's playing behind it, like we accompany her at first, and then she kind of fades out, and then it turns into this like full-on quartet piece. But it's all based on what she was singing in the beginning.
Okay.
So there's that, and there's we have a couple of other pieces that are highly influenced by Eastern European folk music, which sounds pretty different from Appalachian folk music, but just as, you know, very rhythmic. And I think that's probably the main theme that ties together this whole program this summer for us, is it's just very rhythmic, and I think there's something very special and compelling about a lot of string music that can just be very rhythmic. A lot of the times, in my experience, I've gotten harped on by jazz people for not having the best rhythm because string players are always so lyrical, so it's fun to kind of get down and be very, just have to be very rhythmic for once. So
sure.
This program's really, really fun.
It sounds like it'll be really engaging.
Yeah.
So very cool. Well, thanks so much for coming in and telling us about what's coming up this coming week as you guys load into the SUV and hit the UP in multiple locations. Again, the Superior String Alliance, the Chamber Players, performing all next week, starting July 18th, Tuesday, right here in Marquette, 7 p.m. at the Gichigumi Cafe and Records. We'll post the rest of the information on our website and the interview as well at wnmufm.org. And we'll be right back here on Public Radio 90.